Hey, are you tired of meeting with prospects only to have them put you off again and again, turning them into yet another missed opportunity? Are you tired of trying to do the same things in meetings and not seeing any improvement in the amount of business you're closing? Do you want to stop giving your time away in hopes that a client will buy something or someday transfer their assets? Well, Whiteboard University is our two-hour live workshop where we will teach you how to have engaging meetings with every prospect and client you meet with, how to quantify your advice so prospects are willing and excited to pay you a financial planning fee, and finally, where we teach you how to explain financial strategies in a dynamic, interesting way that will separate you from all the boring advisors who do the same old thing. If you're serious about having better client meetings and closing business faster, visit WhiteboardU.com today and sign up for one of our live workshops in November. Whiteboard University offers a 100% money-back guarantee if we don't help you improve your communication and meeting skills. That's WhiteboardU.com. We'll see you there.
Wes, man, good to hang out. I wanted to connect with you and talk about a topic when I was driving in the truck the other day. That I was like, I used to approach this differently and now I don't think about it as much. I wonder what other advisors are doing. So you popped in my mind to talk about how do you interact with wholesalers and are they an asset to your practice or are they a bother? And how has that kind of changed over time?
Man, I love this topic because I think it's so, the ripple effect of answering the question like this well doesn't just impact that relationship. It is your client relationships. It is your personal relationships out there. And I'll take a second and kind of give you the way I think about this in general. And then I think we can have a lot of fun just kind of tearing this up. So super excited to be with you today. So the way I think about this, it's almost like our business and almost every business is one of influence. Influence is the ability to affect the way people think, the way they act, the way they develop. Whether you're a wholesaler or whether you are a holistic fee-based financial planner, whether you are an employee in an organization that's working for a boss, or you're a boss that has employees that are working in your organization and team members. So here's kind of the relational like thought process I go through around this. And I think we can talk specifically to wholesaler, and I think it's going to have bleed over into every other aspect. So there's like three levels of atmosphere of influence, I think. I think one big levels. One is resistant, where it is that they don't want anything from you or for you. So like when we're new in the business, because if you didn't know a lot of people and you didn't have, you know, if you imagine like there's two kind of main lanes here when you get hired into being a financial advisor, as an example, is you got on one axis relationships. And then the other axis, you've got this idea of, the way I try and do it is excellence or profession maybe. Mm-hmm. And when I came into the business, you know, I was 24 and, I had a lot of great relationships. A lot of them had no money and most of them I'd say had no money. But I was already in a profession for a while because I was in an electrical contracting company. I had good professional influence. Mm-hmm. I'd say there, but it was not in this business, right? So you come in to this business and you kind of start at this place of, you know, people. And the big deal is they are resistant, and they're resistant because of a couple of reasons. One is either they have no relational influence with you at all, or you have no relational influence with them, or you have, no professional influence. Maybe it's somebody they like you, Sten. They'll meet. Sten, I'll love to meet with you. That I guess, you know, but listen, I've already got a guy. I want to let you know all the things, you know, and that kind of thing. But then it moves from you. So you have a resistance, which is like the worst level of starting point with anybody. There are ways around it.
Yep.
Then you have tolerance. Okay. And tolerance is that is really what I was speaking to earlier, is maybe I called people and they liked Wes. They liked Sten. They're like, these guys are brand spanking new in this business. They can't have a lot of, but he was really good in his last job. And I really enjoyed working with him there. So you have professional influence. It's not specific to this industry. So it's either like they wanted something for you. So it's almost like they're granting you a favor, right? They're like, Stan, I'll meet with you, sure. And then the last one, which is the highest level of influence, and that's what we call pursuant influence, where they're actually so intrigued that they want to lean in and hear what you have to say. And where I want to spend most of our time, I think, as it relates to how wholesalers approach the game, most of them, and the wholesalers that I love to work with and we love working back, it lives in that level. Because here's the thing. So you get, and I'm guessing here, but if it's like mine, I'm guessing you get 50 emails a week from wholesalers saying, Stan, love to meet with you. Got this great thing. Let's talk about it. I'd love to stop by the office. Let's take you to lunch. Yeah. Right. And they are, we don't have a relationship with them. Number one, you know, we know they're in this business. We have no idea how competent they are. And frankly, I don't answer most of those emails because you just can't, right? We have to protect our time. We have to run a business. But if I get an email or I get a phone call and that person gives me the why before they give me all the what, if they just don't say, hey, I want to take you to lunch, I can go to lunch. I can pay for my own lunch, right? I have friends I'd rather go eat lunch with that I already have deep relationships with. Not that you're not a great person. I wouldn't love hanging out with you. But at this level, when we're playing and you're approaching me this way, you have to give me something that moves me from resistant and really even tolerant, because frankly, the more success you have in this business, you have to be less tolerant with people that are not bringing you something of value up front, because it's just a big waste of time most of the time. So if most wholesalers, what we love, and wholesalers, and I would say even advisors, is if you're reaching out to somebody or making an ask of something, you got to start the people you're trying to impact need to know, feel the weight of the problem you solve or the opportunity you help seize before they care about your product, your process, and your conversations around solving it.
Yeah.
And so
where there's the connection between advisors, how we try to connect with clients.
Totally.
The wholesalers, I think I see the same average behavior happening a lot.
Absolutely. Well, Sam, you train hundreds and hundreds of advisors all the time. And what is the one thing we work with them on all the time is, hey, if somebody asked you, what do you do? What would you say? Mm-hmm. And what they say is not intriguing. It's not making me go, oh, I'd love to learn more. I'm a financial advisor. I'm a money manager. What if instead you said, hey, well, you know how a lot of your profitability can disappear to the tax system? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what that's like. 'Cause we help people with things like that. We own a financial planning company, work with people that own businesses, help them identify and pursue great financial opportunities. Let me give you an example. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, that is a very different conversation to make me go, I want to lean in. I want to learn more about this. And so in the wholesaler world, what we're really looking for, and listen, I'm always nice. You know, when we go to conferences and wholesalers are there, you know, I'm not going to like not talk to them and throw up the boards. 'Cause I also recognize there's people out there that know stuff I don't know that I really want to know. You need good resources of people feeding you good ideas and good things and good context. The best ones I'm just super clear with. You know, we talk about setting expectations. And so I say, hey, listen, the most valuable thing you can do for me is bring me, Wes, here is a problem most advisors that are similar to you are dealing with right now. And here are great things that are helpful to them in helping answer and have solutions to that problem. I said, I love context pieces. I love those. What I don't really need from you is I don't need you to take me to lunch. And I don't need you to call me and check in and say, how's your family? How's this? And listen, I'm glad that they're just taught most of the time. I mean, if you think about it, it's like they're most business relationships are, there's like these two components. There's for and from. Most business relationships at their worst are that I want something from you.
Yeah.
The best business relationships, because listen, every business relationship has that component. We all want something from, so otherwise it's not a business relationship, right? It's a friendship. I got a cousin. I want nothing from him. I want the best for him, and I'm going to have great conversation. We're never going to be in business together. But man, if I know that, yes, I want something from you, but I also want something for you. If that's my heart in that, those are the best in the world. Even clients, and you and I have had this conversation a few times about our favorite people to work with are people that, yes, they want something from us because we offer something of value, right? We're bringing that to the table, something that's causing them to lean in, and we have a process that helps them navigate that. But But man, if they want also, they like you and they're like, well, man, I hope you're winning too in this deal. It's not just one-sided. I want you to get benefit from our relationship because I want something from them. You know, again, we run businesses. So how do we do that? We charge fees, manage money. We help protect them by getting insurance solutions and things like that in place. Make connections for them that are outside of even the business that's necessary because we want something for them. And we want something from them. I mean, I'm not ignoring the from part.
Yeah.
And in that wholesaler world, sometimes it feels very inauthentic.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know me, we don't have a relationship. You're like, hey, how's your family? How's this? I'd rather you just say, hey, man, Wes, look, there's a big problem people are dealing with out there right now that may be weighing on you. Is it?
Yeah.
And if it is, let me tell you some things that people are talking about, some narratives they're using. So that's in general, like my roundabout way of kind of approaching it at first, the relationships in that space.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think I've unfortunately been conditioned now to ignore almost all of it. And I think the epiphany I had the other day is like, I know I'm missing some stuff. Like, I know there's some great wholesalers. I was with the Fidelity wholesaler the other day, bumped into him, and I didn't know Fidelity bought e-money. And he's telling me all this stuff. And I'm just like, this is great. You know, I wouldn't have on my own gone and sought this information out he was sharing. But as I look back at my history, when I started in the business, I was influenced heavily by the firm I was with, and we used wholesalers to get money for events.
Yeah.
That was the whole goal, was get their sponsorship dollars and you stay in touch with them and keep them on a list so that when the time comes to need money for something, you knew who to call.
Yeah, that's right. You're paying for our dinner.
And so it's like, and the wholesalers are like, again, they're wanting to do that to get in. I don't think it really influenced a lot of the products we were using, which was at the end of the day, their goal is like, how can we get you to use our funds or our products? And then over time, I kept using them for that. And I would have maybe one day a month or 2 days a month where I would set time aside for when wholesalers called to meet with them. And then I got busier, and then I would kind of delegate that to somebody on the team. And then as we all got busier, I find myself now interacting with very few of them.
Yes.
Or maybe we're not great clients for them anymore, because very rarely does what they have to say influence us in what we buy.
Right.
Because we're going to buy what we think is best, regardless of who's selling it, which is kind of, I think, the advisor most of us want to be.
Yeah.
So it made me struggle the other day of like, okay, Sten, you know, you're not using this resource fully, but you also don't want to get sucked into the average world of like lunches and product presentations. But I feel like there has to be this best practice that, you know, we can all agree on to some degree on. There's value to be had. They need to solve problems for us. You know, where we would, as we teach a lot of advisors, don't lead with, hey, buy term insurance. You'd be like, that's not even my problem right now. Or I'm not even aware that that's my problem yet. So if you lead with that, you kind of lost me already.
That's right.
And I feel like, okay, there's a lot of parallels there. And, you know, there may be some wholesalers listening to this conversation. But I want to also, for us, you know, all the advisors we get to impact, what is a best practice we can land on together that it's like, it's, there's value there, but also don't waste time.
Yeah. I feel like it's a couple things you can do. I think one is, because you're right. You're so right in this. Like we love talking about this idea of normal and new. We all have a current way we go about making progress in this business right now without people we haven't met and without wholesalers that haven't come into our atmosphere yet. Mm-hmm. And we're doing good. Things are okay. Right. We all can have a new, which is a transformed way of doing all the stuff we do now. And I firmly believe with all my heart, it's like deep in my soul, if I had one message to give, it is that our greatest opportunity to recognize our future possibilities, it's not necessarily about abandoning our normal. It's also not about rejecting new. It's about keeping tension between the two. So what I would say is, where's your tension for new? And that's going to be true in the wholesalers, new wholesalers that are not a part of your atmosphere already, or even existing ones that you kind of know that could have new ideas. It's almost like the new idea allocation of time. How is that showing up in your world as it relates to the traditional wholesaler model? And so I think you should guard time to explore new relationships, to deepen existing ones in the wholesaler arena. If that space doesn't exist for you, you're not going to get all the best ideas. I think you need filters that help with that, though. And those filters are, you just be super clear with them. Hey, one of the things I value is you coming to me with really useful problems or opportunities, mm-hmm. and then show me how those solutions solve that problem and those opportunities uniquely. And yeah, I want to like you too, because nobody likes working with a jerk, you know, and nobody likes working with people that feel ingenuine, you know, on things. But the most critical thing to me at this point in my life is I love eating lunch, but I don't need to have lunch right now, just because we're so full. But I'd love it if we could have a 1 hour conversation every month. At least let's test it. And so you don't tie this to eternity for the next 3 months. Let's meet. And I want you to bring me, hey, here's a problem we see commonly for a practice like yours. And by the way, let me tell you about what my practice is like. Because again, it's kind of like with a client. You don't go in and go, here's the problem you have. You know, you go in and go, hey, these are common problems and I don't know exactly where you are to really go deep. I can show you a lot of cool stuff and that help overcome these issues for clients. But I really want to understand where you are relative to the future you're trying to create. Because then we can have some very great discussions and dialogue around the areas of planning may be most useful. And so if you know that, and then you know in this 1 hour, you're gonna come at me first with, Wes, here's a problem all people tend to struggle with that are in your space. Yep. And here's the thing that their clients struggle with. Here's the thing that, here's the solution for that problem. Mm. I'm in, if you're that kind of person. Now, eventually, it's kind of like, we joke because there was this campaign that goes through, and this happens, like call your clients, like during market compression cycles, call your clients. But what are you calling them with? Like, are you calling them and going, hey, just checking in. Is everything good? You feeling good about things? Or are you going, hey, here's something everybody's fearful about. Just saying, everybody right now, many people, because the financial entertainment networks, I should say, and you know, Facebook and TikTok, right now, they're super concerned that if Trump gets elected, this will happen. If Kamala gets elected, this will happen. And hey, it may never be good again. And these are all the Reddit. Is that something that you're hearing? Is that a weight you're... Let me just talk to you a little bit about why, in light of that, in light of the 23 election cycles that have existed since the 1930s, how that's almost never, ever been even mattered. And let me tell you what we would do no matter what happens.
This one's different, Wes.
Yeah, that's right.
It feels different.
Happening in 2024. We've never had an election in 2024 before.
That's right.
But isn't it true, Stan? It's like, man, I know I need new information. And so I don't want to like so wall myself off. I want filters.
That's right.
And filters let some things pass through, but it has to be very defined. What do I want to pass through that filter? Something that I think you're really good at that I think everybody should be tuned into is you also need a community of people that are also have similar filters that you're, because when you and I talk, it's like, hey, what are some of the things you're working on? Who are you talking to? And you're like, man, you really should meet with this guy. Or I can say, Stan, man, this is something we're doing that I'd never seen anybody do it as good as this person. You should meet with him. That's like a client for you talking to their buddy and saying, man, you know what? You ever heard that you can pay your kids? You ever heard that you can, you know, rent your house for 14? No, where'd you hear that? You got to talk to Stan. Stan told you, your advisor doesn't do that. Man, you really should meet with him. Because kind of clients you and I want to work with, they're doing good without us.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
And they should have filters up. And if they don't, they're just meeting with everybody in their life's chaotic. They don't get to levels of success without having the right filters up. Honestly, it's just nature, right? The more success you have, the further up organizationally your organization builds to.
Yeah.
You're going to have tighter filters.
That's right.
Because you just can't see everybody. And so that my main deal is, what are your filters right now? One, are you even doing new? Because a lot of advisors don't.
Yeah.
That's why they don't go to the How to Charge Live event.
Yeah.
Right? Because, man, I don't have time for that, Stan.
Well, just working just well enough, man. I'm making good money. Yeah.
You're all right. I made more than my neighbor, you know? I don't hate my life that much, you know? It's like, but if there's a significantly better way, wouldn't want to know?
Yeah, the comfort is, we're all susceptible to that. One way I frame it, because one of the terms we use in our community is idea partners, is I was like, I think there's a spot in there for wholesalers. Like, I think we can treat them as, what information are you learning from other advisors? And as opposed to creating a whole new vertical in our business to try to engage wholesalers, I think have a filter, you know, set good expectations when they call. You know, I think I've heard some advisors say, I pick one day every month. And so when wholesalers call, as opposed to screening their calls, I can tell my team, hey, here's a day you can give it to them.
Yeah.
I think that's one option. Another is saying, I can't have 20 of them, but I have, you know, four idea partners that that happen to be wholesalers that provide me good business best practices, what other advisors are doing in the industry. They give me ideas and they show me ideas in a way where I can go teach clients and actually helps me get new business. So that's where I'm almost landing, is as opposed to thinking I need to create a whole new thing when I'm already pretty busy.
I love it.
I can fit wholesalers into another system we're already massaging.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna use that, Stanley. I love the idea of just it's a broad category that shows up rhythmically in your calendar that is idea partner time.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, CPAs, it's attorneys, it's wholesalers, it's whatever insurance side, AUM side, business consultants, all those folks that they want something from you, but man, I want something from them if they've got good ideas too, and we can both have something for each other.
Yep.
But you get to filter them. And I do like the idea of what you said of filtering those over to filter one is your team takes those and says, which of these do we know are just not good already? They don't meet our standard. Maybe they're not good. It's just not what we need. And then what's the narrow it down? And then I even think, as you and I were talking prior to this call, given the wholesaler clear expectations coming into that conversation, saying, hey, listen, really excited to meet with you. Here's how we like to work with our idea partners is we love it when you can come in. Cause here's what we believe. We believe most people, they need to feel the weight of the problem you solve, the size of the opportunity you seize before they care about your solutions and products and processes solving it. So you can bring us, hey, in most advisor practice worlds, and I recognize you won't know fully until you talk to Sten, what is the problem that exists out there? And then bring in how you guys, the puzzle pieces that fit. That way they come in set for success. Cause you know, who knows, they might have inherited a model. Like you and I inherited a model when we came into the business, you know? And if we could go back and tell the younger versions of ourselves, hey, that one's not all that good. Yep. You know, maybe we alter that a little bit. But I think the why before what approach is so critical in this. I even think about it like this, it plays into the same thing, but you know, if you've ever heard somebody give a message, a wholesaler give a message at a meeting, or you hear even a general communicator, or you go to church and you hear a message, whatever that might be. I always just want to get out of my chair half the time, because what they start with is a bunch of what. Let me tell you all the things that we have, all the products and services and shiny and let me, or at church, let me give you all this scripture. You know, let me read you this. And I love scripture. I'm in. And then they get to like, and here's this problem that exists down here. Why don't you flip those around?
Yeah.
Because if you start with, hey, do you ever struggle with this? Do you ever have, like, you're wondering how this thing could get better and man, everybody's like, tell us how to fix it, you know? And then they care about all the points that come after, but it's just a small, there's a great book that anybody listening, but if you're a wholesaler, I mean, listen to this. I listened to an audiobook I'd recommend, Communicating for a Change by Andy Stanley.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just great time-tested truths around getting people intrigued, because I feel like this, and I feel like most of the time, none of us want to be tolerated.
Yeah.
We want people to be intrigued with the conversation they're going to have. And even if it starts with, there's a little bit of tolerance, you know, they're like, okay, I'm coming in and I don't know how this meeting got on my calendar, but I'm going to take it. You know, I'm not going to shoot the guy off or whatever it is, or I met the guy, I like him. Okay, I'll meet with him. You better quickly flip that to, man, I'm super intrigued by the way this guy thinks, the way this girl thinks.
Yep, I love that. I think some pitfalls as we're wrapping up. If a wholesaler's sending you a bunch of stuff, this was kind of a little crisis I had in my mind of like, is there a conflict of interest if the golf trips, the golf balls, the half a zip that I'm getting is affecting my choice for clients.
Yeah.
I think that's something as advisors we have to be aware of. Where I years ago said, I don't accept any gifts, like at all. Like, yeah. I don't care if you send me a tumbler, like, and if it shows up here, I might send it home with one of my staff members or something, but like that, yeah. I don't want that to influence me. And I've met advisors where they show up wearing a bunch of stuff and I could tell like they've befriended you and you're probably using their product and it may not be the best one.
Yeah.
I don't want to do too big of a sweeping statement in that, but for everyone listening, for all of us advisors, like, I think it's our job to always be aware of, like, am I being impartial? And I think if we looked at them as idea partners to get strategies, and at the end of the day, the best person wins when it comes to the annuity product, the insurance product, the fund company we're using, whatever it is, I think that's a tension, if we're going to be interacting with wholesalers a lot, that we have to learn to live in. I don't think you can get rid of it, but I think we have to be aware of it.
I totally agree with that, because it truly is. We are human at our core, right? So people that are likable, people that want to do nice things for you or do nice things for you, it's just a lot easier to want to be for that person than somebody that's not doing those things for you. I think where you have to land with it, it is those two tensions of you have relationship influence and then you've got professional influence and ability. And the deal is, they can be the nicest guy in the world, be super for you, and you like them. But if they aren't the best professional solution for the problem, then you have to answer that to yourself. And I believe this too, Sena. It's a prayer to, because I'm not immune from being human as anybody. Before I go into our meetings, and one of the things we talk about in our team all the time, sincere prayer of my heart is, God, help me want something for this person, not from them. And help me to have a great conversation, not do a presentation here. Yeah. And it just changes my heart. It changes my own atmosphere, because some stuff is, it's communicated through the air. Yeah. It really is. And I feel like that's a big area and a great point to bring up. And I also think if you're like super new in the business, here's the deal. You're struggling to get influence with people, right? And so be work towards that intrigue, and you can listen to Sten's podcast and you're going to get a whole bunch of intriguing things that make people go, I'll take a look at that. And then, but second is like, when all of a sudden, when somebody's like intrigued with you, like a wholesaler would be, it feels nice, and you'll go to those lunches. You'll take the phone calls. And listen, I'm not against lunch, and I'm not against asking them how their family is, but you do need the other part. You got to have the substance. And I would say your career would be way better served at this point to not go on those lunches and just say, hey, man, let's have our time, our partner time. And man, tell me about the problems that exist out there, and then let's back into how your solutions help with those.
Yeah, I love that. So practically, I think I'm glad we agree. Wholesalers can be a great asset. I think set really good expectations with them on what the business relationship looks like. Be open to the relationship side, but I think that's kind of secondary.
Yep.
As everyone's listening, I think hopefully you're taking some being aware of what you're feeling right now. Do you feel like we're challenging the way you're doing it? Do you disagree with what we're saying? But I think for us as business owners, as advisors, we have to have some type of strategy around this piece of it. And I think what I'm hearing for me and you is we're gonna add them to our idea partner list.
Yeah.
And hold them into we are open to new ideas, because we want them to be an asset and not a bother.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool, brother. Love it. All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.